Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, May 16th. Colorado's annual 120-day legislative session ended last Wednesday. Lawmakers passed several bipartisan proposals to restore proposed cuts to hospitals and put more money into roads and schools. But many bills addressing key issues also failed. Benza Berkland talks about some of the highs and lows of the legislative session with reporters as part of our weekly Capitol Conversation.
Joining us, we have Brian Eason with the Denver Post and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. Coming out of a very divisive presidential election year, the country is still divided politically. We have a split legislature here with Republicans in control of the Senate, Democrats the House. Ed, we didn't see a lot of that national messaging impact some of the legislation here.
Yeah, I think there was a feeling of pragmatism that overtook the legislature this year. I think it actually stems a little bit from 2 years in which virtually nothing got done in 2015 and 16, and the legislature hearing from constituents during the election season, hey, we'd actually like some help with transportation. Hey, we'd actually like some help with funding our hospitals. Hey, we'd actually like some help being able to put up condos and affordable housing because the law doesn't really allow us to do so now. And they got to work on it. It was actually quite shocking how much was able to get done this year between $1.9 billion in transportation funding and a construction defects reform bill that should spur building and hospitals that are going to save $528 million they otherwise would have lost. I think people just realized they had to do something, and they did.
Legislative leaders in both parties feel like they've had a lot of wins. Most folks feel pretty good about how things played out.
And about halfway through, I think that might have come to a surprise to a lot of us. House Bill 1242 is supposed to be this big, grand compromise on transportation. It fell apart in the Senate, even though it had the Senate president and the transportation chair on board. I think there was definitely a moment where people were wondering, is anything big going to get done this session? Construction defects was still on the rocks. Hospital funding was at risk. There were pending cuts to schools that everyone was upset about, and it really didn't look like anything was going to come together. I think what you saw was rural interests really joining with more urban Democratic interests and putting together a grand compromise on issues that weren't necessarily partisan.
And it's worth noting in the Senate, there's only one seat majority for Republicans, and we have a diverse caucus in that chamber. You do have folks that are more moderate, other people that aren't, but you don't need too many people to suddenly get something through that Democrats are okay with.
And the Senate's always been that way in terms of not just working on the other side of the aisle to get things through, but working on the other side of the aisle to block things. You know, it's probably worth noting, too, that the legislature shouldn't get a complete pass. There were a number of things they couldn't agree on. They couldn't agree on regulatory reform. They couldn't come anywhere close to agreeing on liquor sales reform, despite four different opportunities to do so. And in the end, they couldn't agree even on extending the life of the Colorado Energy Office and what policy should be there. And I think that signals part of a bigger divide that's going on a subject that will remain and even grow more divisive, and that's oil and gas regulations. I think in 2018, we're going to see some big fights over that because nothing at all changed on that this year.
Definitely, and there were several efforts to try to work on oil and gas issues that just completely got nowhere. We also had the annual messaging bills on abortion and guns and those types of things that failed. How about pot clubs and people smoking marijuana on porches? Talk about that, Brian. It came down to the last day.
That was one of the weirdest fights of the session. This bill went back and forth the conference committee and the House floor, and the issue was the exact number of people who could smoke pot on a porch and whether those people could be visible or had to be fenced in from public view. It was a crazy debate, and at the end of the day, both Republicans and Democrats joined together to kill it.
Thanks, Brian Eason with the Denver Post, Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. I'm Benta Berkland, and this was Capitol Conversation.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife issued a press release about a common problem during springtime in Colorado. Each year, Parks and Wildlife receives scores of calls about wildlife that has been abandoned by adult animals. Many people are tempted to help a young animal by picking it up or trying to feed it. The best course of action is to leave them alone. Wildlife experts agree that it is quite normal for adult animals to leave their young in a safe place while they go forage for food. Well-meaning people sometimes gather up this baby wildlife and bring them to rehabilitation facilities. This is the wrong thing to do. When humans touch baby animals, they impart a scent that adult animals will not recognize and will fear. This results in true abandonment of a healthy offspring. Parks and Wildlife recommends that when you find wildlife, enjoy a quick look, leave the animal where it is, and keep pets out of the area. Quietly observe the animal from a distance, and don't hover so close that the wild parents are afraid to return to the area. People should recognize the potential harm to them as well. Handling wildlife has associated risks, like disease transmission of rabies, distemper, or other illnesses. Wildlife can also carry dangerous fleas. Finally, Parks and Wildlife reminds Coloradans that it is illegal to own most wildlife. New studies show that equal pay for women in Colorado would cut the poverty rate by half and would add $9 billion annually to the state's economy. Eric Gladys has this story.
How many moms asked for equal pay for Mother's Day? Women are now the sole or co-breadwinner in half of American families with young children, and if they were paid the same as comparable male workers, 26 million children across the U.S. would benefit, according to new analysis by the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Jessica Milley, the study's director, says closing the gender wage gap is much more than a women's issue.
The additional income that equal pay would add to family incomes would reduce the poverty rate among children by nearly half. And so that was also a really striking finding from our analysis.
The report found Colorado's poverty rate would drop from 5.6% to under 3%. Milley says the pay gap isn't always a result of unfair bosses. It's partly because more women work in jobs that have traditionally paid less. But she says new policies, such as prohibiting employers from asking applicants for their salary histories, would prevent lower earnings from following women into new jobs. Researchers compared women and men of the same age, education levels, and working the same number of hours. In Colorado, women would see a bump in pay of over $5,800 a year if paid the same as men. Milley notes equal pay would also boost states' economies.
Equal pay would add more than $500 billion in wage and salary income to the national economy, which is about 2.8% of GDP in 2016.
The pay gap hits women of color especially hard. According to the National Women's Law Center, black women earn 63 cents for every dollar a white man makes, which translates to a loss of more than $840,000 over a 40-year career. On average, a woman would have to work 10 years longer than a man to close the gap. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.